This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
What kind of person are you? How do you see yourself? What I'm really asking you is, what kind of self-image do you have? Now, whether you realize it or not, that's a very important issue. Your self-image. Because what we're going to find today in our message is, my self-image defines who I am and the way I will behave. Whoever I think I am, I'm going to tend to line up my thinking and my behavior with who I am. We've been talking about destiny. The fact that God has an appointed destiny for each one of us. God has a plan for our lives. He has a place that He has already ordained for us to go, and it's a good place. His plan for us is a good plan. There's a destiny that God has appointed for us to achieve. And what we want to take note of this morning is that achieving that destiny is very much dependent on what we think about ourselves. We've been looking at David. Let's see if we can't find some lessons out of David's life on how our self-image affects us reaching our destiny. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. You remember the story. The Philistines had come to fight with the Israelites. And the Philistines were on one side of the mountain. The Israelites were across the valley on another side of another mountain. And this big Goliath stands there on the side of the mountain every morning. And he shouts across at the Israelites, "Send me somebody out to fight with me." What Goliath's purpose was what? To intimidate the Israelites. To get them so afraid that they would not fight the battle. And in fact, when we found out, if you're intimidated, you have no chance to win the battle. Now, look at verse 8 of 1 Samuel 17. When I first read this, and every time I read it, something really jumps out at me about what Goliath said as he was trying to intimidate the Israelites. Look at this. 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. "Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me.'" Now look at what Goliath is doing. What he's saying is this: look, I want to define for you, Israel, first of all, who the Philistines are. We are big stuff. I am a Philistine. I am a mighty warrior. My people are mighty warriors. And who are you? All you are the servants of Saul. And who is Saul? A so-called king that's so scared he won't even come out and fight. What's he trying to do? He's trying to define the way that the Israelites look at the Philistines up here. But more importantly, he's trying to define the way the Israelites look at themselves down here someplace. That's what this is all about. Because you see, the thing that Goliath understood that we need to understand is that my self-image defines who I am and the way I will behave. And so if he could get the Israelites thinking that they're these little guys down here who have no ability to compete with the Philistines up here, the battle is already won. The Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen? And so the way we think about ourselves in our heart defines who we really are. Let me give you an example. Go over to Numbers chapter 13. Let me read verses 31 through 33. Look at this. You remember that in Numbers, God had given the people of Israel the promised land. He said, it's yours. All you got to go do is go in and take it. And Moses sent in 12 spies to spy out the land. And those 12 men came back and brought a report of what they'd seen. And 10 of them gave what the Bible calls an evil report. Look at this, starting with verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. The spies came back and said, look, we can't take the land. Why? Because we look at them and then we look at ourselves and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. In other words, what was their self-image? They're giants, but what are we? We're grasshoppers. How many of you have ever stomped on a grasshopper? Amen? Were you scared of him? You're not scared of grasshoppers. Nobody's afraid of a grasshopper. Grasshoppers don't have any power, any authority. And that's the way these 10 people were thinking about themselves. And what was the result? They convinced the whole nation to look at themselves and think of themselves as grasshoppers. God had already told them, you are conquerors. I've already given you the land. All you've got to do is go in and take it. But because their self-image was not that of conquerors, but of grasshoppers, they acted like grasshoppers. And they would not go in to take the land. My self-image defines who I am and the way I will behave. When I was growing up, we lived in the projects down in Tennessee. And we didn't have a whole lot of money. But let me tell you something about myself. Even though I grew up in the projects, I have never been poor, and I never will be. I have never been poor, and I never will be. Now, am I trying to tell you that I make so much money? No, no, no. That's not what it's all about. We didn't have much money when I was in the projects. And since I started this church, guess what? Amen. Amen. No, I'm not talking about how much money we got. I'm not talking about my earning power. What I'm talking about is this. When I was growing up, we were living in the projects, but my mom was a hard worker. She worked 11 to 7 shifts sometimes. She worked the 3 to 11 shifts sometimes. She was always hard at work. And what she never gave me was a sense of being some kind of poor little child or little poor child. I always felt that we were somebody. Amen? And so I never grew up thinking of myself as poor. And then when I started walking with the Lord, I found out that my God shall supply what? All my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I know I'll never be poor now. Understand, being poor or not being poor is not a matter of how much money you got in your pocket. Even if I don't have a dollar in my billfold today, you know what I say? Not, oh, woe is me, I'm so poor. No, that's not what I say. What I say is my every need is supplied in Jesus Christ. Amen. And when I need that dollar, it's going to be there. And if he doesn't give me a dollar, then he'll give me whatever I need. If I need a sandwich, I'll get a sandwich. Hallelujah. If I need a glass of milk, I'll get a glass of milk, whatever it is. If I need to pay the rent sometime, they might come to me and say, you know what? You don't need to pay your rent this month. Whatever it is, my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so I will never be poor. What am I saying to you? No matter how much money I have or I don't have, my self-image is not that of a poor person. Your self-image is crucial. It defines who you are and the way you'll behave. And that's why in Scripture, there's a pattern. Almost every time God laid his hand on somebody and said, I'm calling you to do a great work for the kingdom of God. You know what the first thing God did was? He dealt with the person's self-image. Go over to Genesis chapter 17. Let me show you an example. Before God could use people, he always had to realign their self-image. Look at this. Genesis chapter 17, talking about Abraham. Only it's before he was called Abraham. He's still being called Abram. Look at this. Genesis chapter 17, starting with verse 3. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Now, why did God go through this exercise of changing Abram's name to Abraham? Well, Abram means exalted father, but you know what Abraham means? Abraham means father of a multitude. Hallelujah. Father of a multitude. Remember, at this moment, Abraham didn't have one child, but God wanted to see himself how? As the father of a multitude. And that's why God changed his name. Abraham, I'm changing your self-image. I don't want you to see yourself as a childless man anymore. It's still, by the way, going to be 25 years before that child comes. And so the promise had not been fulfilled yet, but God wanted Abraham to start thinking about himself as the father of multitudes. Let me give you another example. Go over to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Talking about a man named Gideon. At this time, the Israelites didn't have a king, and they were fragmented and easy prey for the people around about them who would come in and raid them and take everything they had from them. Look at what happened with Gideon. Judges chapter 6, starting with verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, what kind of self-image did this man Gideon have? Look at what he was doing. He's there in a wine press threshing his wheat. How many of you know that a wine press is not the place to thresh wheat? But he was there, why? Because he was hiding from the Midianites. Anytime the Midianites came and raided, they took everything they had, so they had to hide. He's hiding out. And then the angel comes to him. And what's the first word out of his mouth? The words out of his mouth are, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon was no mighty man of valor. In fact, look at verse 15. Look at how Gideon saw himself. When the angel told him, God's going to free your people through you, Gideon. This was Gideon's answer. Judges chapter 6, verse 15. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. What was Gideon's self-image? He saw himself as the least of the least. Amen? The least of the least. How many of you know that somebody who sees themselves as the least of the least is not going to go out and fight battles and win them? In order for God to use this man to free his people, And to win the battle against the Midianites, against the enemy, Gideon's self-image had to change. And that's why when the angel came to him, he told him two things. Number one, Gideon, God is with you. Amen? Now, if he stopped right there, that should have been enough. When you know God is with you, guess what? You got everything you need. Amen? But then he wanted Gideon to really get it and apply it to himself. So what did the angel say? The Lord is with you. Who? You mighty man of valor. You mighty man of valor. The purpose of the angel was to change Gideon's self-image from a little rabbit hiding out to a mighty man, praise God. How many mighty men do we have here today? Let me just see. Mighty men. Mighty men. Got a few hands, kind of halfway went up. What does that mean? We need to change some self-images, amen? We need to change some self-images, because guess what? Let me just tell you. I told you I'm not poor. Well, let me tell you, I am a mighty man of valor, hallelujah. I am a mighty man of valor. Why? Because I'm so great. I got a great God, amen? Got a great God, hallelujah. I got a God who said he'll fight my battles for me, amen? And you know what that makes me? A mighty man of valor. I mean, were any of you ever picked on when you were little? Picked on? Bullies came after you, amen? Uh-huh. Now, did any of you ever have an older brother or older sister? Think about it. You go into school and the bullies are picking on you. And you go home and you tell your big brother. You know that one that's 6'5", 285 pounds, that goes and works out every day? And that one, that's the one I'm talking about. You tell your big brother. And so the next morning, when you go to school, guess who's going with you? Big brother. And Butch, the one that always picks on you, comes up. And what do you say? Every time Butch came up to you before, okay, Butch, you want my lunch money? Here it is. But this time, when you got your big brother standing by you, what do you say? Hey, Butch, you want something? You want some of this? You want some of this? Come on, Butch, come on, come on. And then you step aside and say, okay, brother, go ahead, take it. Well, guess what? I got a big brother named Jesus. Amen? I got a big brother named Jesus. And you know what that makes me? That makes me a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. God had to change Gideon's self-image from a scared rabbit to a mighty man before Gideon could do a mighty work for God. That brings us to the next thing we need to know. The next thing we see illustrated by what happened to David. Number one, we found out that our self-image defines who I am and the way I will behave. Here's the second thing we need to know. The enemy wants to define my self-image. Think about what Goliath did. Go back and look again at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 8. Goliath stood there and told the Israelites what to think about the Philistines. We're great. But the most important thing he tried to do was to direct the way the Israelites thought about themselves. Let me read verse 8 again. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine?" And here's the key phrase. "And you, the servants of Saul." Do you see what he wanted? He wanted the Israelites to look at themselves as the servants of Saul. Well, why is that so important? The Bible says that a servant will not be greater than his master. Amen? And so if they were the servants of Saul, that means they would never be greater than Saul. And what was Saul's greatness at that point? Saul is in his tent, scared to come out and fight Goliath. In fact, look at verse 11 of 1 Samuel 17. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is the king. This is Saul. And all the rest of the people followed after him. That's why Goliath wanted them to see themselves as the servants of Saul. King Saul is so intimidated by Goliath, he's sitting in his tent shaking with fear. And Goliath wanted the whole nation, the whole army of Israel, to be just like that. So he tried to make them see themselves as the servants of Saul, because if they saw themselves as the servants of Saul, they were going to act like Saul. Catch this. Understand it. If the devil can control the way you see yourself, he can control you. Did you get that? If the devil can control the way you see yourself, the kind of person you believe you are, then the devil can control you. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 4. That raises something that's very important for us to understand in the world that we live in today. The devil is trying to define our self-image for us. He's trying to make us see ourselves the way he wants us to be. How many of us have ever received messages from other people, either verbal or nonverbal messages, that tell us we are not as good as somebody else? Any of us ever received that kind of message from somebody? It may be they tell you that because of your family background, because of the color of your skin, because of your gender, because of where you grew up, because of the way you look, the way you talk, what kind of personality you have, how much education you have, whatever it is, they find a way, a reason to tell you you're not as good as somebody else. Well, you know who's talking to you? It may be coming out of that person's mouth, but where does the message come from? Comes from the enemy. Amen? Comes from the enemy. And what's he trying to do? Define your self-image the way he wants it to be. He wants you to think of yourself as something that's of no account. Think of yourself as something of no importance, something that has no power and has no authority. Because guess what? If you think of yourself that way, you are no threat to him. If the devil can get you to downgrade the way you see yourself, he knows that will cause you to actually live down to what you believe yourself to be. If you believe you are nobody, you're going to act like nobody. Amen? If you believe that you are of no account, you're going to act like a no account person. If everybody around you is a thug and they look at you and tell you you're a thug, guess what? You're going to act like a thug. Our prisons are filled with young men who are there because they had a distorted image of themselves. And that distorted self-image controlled them. But you know what was the great thing about David? David didn't fall for it. Amen? Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Get it? David never thought of himself as a servant of Saul. He saw himself as a servant of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. That was his self-image. I don't serve Saul. I serve the living God. And what Saul can't do, God can. You see his self-image. Let him know that because he served the living God, he had the power, he had the ability to defeat the enemy. Understand, if I allow the people around me, my friends, my peers, even my family, to define who I think I am, then I am allowing those people to control me. And I will only get in life what they can give me. If I allow the people around me to define who I am, if I allow my friends to determine what kind of person I see myself to be, if I allow even my family, think about it, David's family, as far as his father Jesse was concerned, David was just his youngest son, good for nothing but being out there with a few sheep. But David did not allow his family to define who he was. He knew he was a servant of the living God. Understand, the only one who can legitimately and accurately define who you are is the one who created you. Only God can accurately define who I am. I'm not defined by my history, by what I've done in my past, the mistakes I've made. I'm not defined by my intelligence, which may or may not be as great as somebody else's. I'm not defined by my money or my job or my clothing. No, 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 no. And I'm certainly not defined by what you think I ought to be. I am only defined by who God says I am. Amen? That's where I get my self-image. If I want to know who I am, I need to go to the one who made me. If I'm going to have the kind of self-image that allows me to reach the destiny that God has appointed for me, I need to get my self-image directly from the source. There's some churches that have a confession that they make every service. And it goes something like this. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. And I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. And let me add to that, I can live the way it says I can live. You see, that's the truth. Amen. This Bible defines who I am. When it tells me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know what? That means even when I mess up, hallelujah, God still sees me as righteous. When it tells me I am the redeemed of the Lord, what that says to me is that even when I'm going through something, I am valuable in the sight of God. His son died for me. You see, I need to go to that word, find out what it's saying about me, and that becomes my self-image. I need to get it down inside of me. I don't need to allow somebody else to define who I am, to tell me what I can do or what I can't do. I can do anything that God calls me to do. Why? Because I can do all things through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen? My self-image defines who I am and the way I will behave. And because of that, it also defines the destiny that I will achieve in my life. You need to go to the Word of God and find out for yourself who you are in Jesus Christ. And guess what? The man or the woman or the young person who really knows who they are, nobody can stop you.